Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of Luke as we continue in the book of Luke, chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Title of my sermon this morning is Make Me Clean. Make Me Clean. Shall we stand together? Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. Luke 5, verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but to go and to show himself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed for his quiet time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to be together. We thank you for the songs that were sung, for the specials. Lord, we thank you for the offering time in which we can give back a portion of as you've given unto us. We pray, Lord, now that you would bless this time as we look into the Holy Word of God. We ask that the Spirit would move, touch hearts, convict sinners. And Lord, may we leave saying it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. May angels rejoice in heaven today over one that cometh to know thee as Savior. In Jesus, and we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. As we continue in the book of Luke, let us reminisce for just a moment, remembering that Jesus, after his baptism by John the Baptist and his temptations in the wilderness, had gone to his hometown of Nazareth. And you may remember that Jesus and his message, unfortunately, was not accepted by them in Nazareth. So Jesus left and went to Capernaum. And after speaking in the Capernaum synagogue, he went to the home of Simon Peter, where they found his mother-in-law sick with a great fever. And of course, Jesus healed her. And then, of course, he healed many others, including casting the devils out of many. Luke 4:42a tells us that Jesus departed into a desert place, maybe for that quiet time. But they came seeking him. It says they sought him. They came unto him. They stayed him, meaning they held him, begging him to stay. We should never want the Spirit of the Lord to leave us. We find in Luke 4:43 and 44 that he told them he must depart to preach in other synagogues. And as we have mentioned, he preached the why of repentance, and the why, of course, is sin. He preached the need of repentance. We are all sinners. He preached the outcome of repentance, which is forgiveness. He preached the gladness of repentance, which is the removal of guilt. He preached the final result of repentance, heaven. Thank you for that song, Mother. You are on the highway to heaven. I hope you don't have an exit real soon. Now in Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 15, we find the touching story of a man full of leprosy. The key word there being full. He was not in the beginning stages of leprosy. He had had it for a while. His illness was full blown. He may have already been at the point in time in which he had begun to lose body parts. The nose, the ears, the toes, the fingers oftentimes would begin to fall off. And we find that leprosy in the Bible is a type and symbol of sin. May I say this? There is sin today in this church. You say, oh, no, that can't be. I'm a sinner. Are you a sinner? There's sin in this church. May I say this? We should be doing our best to overcome that sin, but it is hard because we live in this body. The spirit, as we know, is willing, but the flesh is what? It's weak. It's a struggle. Verse 12 says, it came to pass. I mean, it happened. It happens when we're going through our daily lives that things come to pass. And in this case, this man in a certain city saw the Savior. Praise God when Jesus passed by. But he's got time for those in need. He doesn't say, well, you're not good enough for me. You go over there. No, he has time for everybody, be it Zacchaeus up in a tree, or be it a man full of leprosy. We see that this man took advantage of the situation. Number one, he fell on his face. Number two, he spoke, begging the Lord. Number three, to make him clean. You know, there needs to come a time in our lives when we realize that we need a cleanser, that we need a soap that will clean us spiritually. And Jesus Christ shed his blood that we might be clean. You know, a number of weeks ago, our church participated in home plate there at Comerica Park, and a number of the Detroit Tigers gave their testimonies of their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, one of them that did not, but his card was amongst the cards of those people who did testify, was Willie Horton. How many of you remember Willie Horton? Tiger great from 1968. I remember going to the auto show and Willie Horton was there and I got a picture of myself standing with Willie Horton. Boy, did I look small. But Willie Horton gives this testimony and I'll read it to you. He says, in 2003, at the age of 60, well, if he was 60 at the age of 2003, how old is he now? 70. Some of you are good mathematicians. Yes. He says, a nephew of mine was battling cancer. I tried to talk with him about how he was feeling, and he told me not to worry about him. You should be worrying about your own soul, he said. His words hit me like a fastball to the ribs. I was stunned to receive a call a couple of days later informing me that he had died of a heart attack. The day after attending his funeral, I received the news that another nephew had been tragically killed. At the church for his funeral, God's message of love overwhelmed me. I knew it was time, and I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Happiness and joy surround my life these days. Along with working for the Detroit Tigers, I've had the privilege of confessing the name of my Lord Jesus Christ. I find my daily strength in God's Word. I have found peace in my life. I'm closer to my team, my family, and my God. Do we know Jesus Christ as our Savior? He said he liked to talk to people about the Lord. You know, what a privilege it is to know Christ as our Savior. Notice verse 13, folks. This is something that just didn't happen. When lepers were in the vicinity of you, you stayed arm's length from them. You wanted to get so that they were downwind. You didn't want leprosy, and you never touched a leper. But notice verse 13, and he put forth his hand and touched him. Imagine what the disciples and the others traveling with him thought as Jesus reaches his hand toward the leper. Some may have gasped. Some may have said, don't. But Jesus, not hesitating, reached out and touched him, touched by the Master. And it says that immediately the leprosy departed from him. We said that leprosy is a type and symbol of sin. Take your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 28. In the Sunday school, adult Sunday school, these verses were read, and we'll read it again to you. We live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a world of rebellion. We live in a world in which teenagers are taught to rebel against parents or against established religion or even against their government. Well, we live in a time of rebellion. But notice what it says in verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. Do you realize that God will let you be as miserable as you want to be? He'll let you sin if that's what you want to do. And you can sin and you can sin and He can remind you this isn't good for you. But you have the final choice. You have the final decision. He let them do what those things that were not convenient. Verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication. Now what is fornication? Fornication is sexual relationship between unmarried people. Do you think that it's happening in the United States of America today? Do we have a world that has a little bit of fornication? We even had a television program. Now, I didn't have it. I never watched it. They had a television program called Californication. Now, what do you think that program was about? Living morally? But you know, I bet you some of the people in this room watched it. Yeah, you know, you say to yourself, well, it was just a TV program. Well, why waste your time on TV programs like that? You know, that's one of the problems that we're having today is it's out there so much that if we're not careful, it'll overwhelm us. Notice, this is what they were doing. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate. You know, there are always those that want to debate. They want to argue that the Bible isn't so, that it's myth, or it was just a good book. They want to debate about how one gets into heaven. Deceit. Malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. There's probably none of those in this room. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Some would call those homosexuals. Implacable, which means they are unsatisfied, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Quickly, if you would, over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Make me clean. Lord, help me this day. We live in a day of sin-cursed people. May I say this, we live in a day and age in which we have better everything than ever before, seemingly, and yet suicide rates are higher than ever before. Well, we live in a day with so many pleasures, it's unbelievable, but the giving out of antidepressant medicine is at an all-time high. We have more people today diagnosed with depression than ever before. Oh, why is this? Because sin is running rampant in our society. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. We live in a world of me first. And if I have anything left over, I will then give it to somebody else. But love means giving first to another. But lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, full of false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins. Now in the last days, people are going to creep in, ladies, make sure you're not full of sin, and lead you away. Led away with divers, that means many, lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is truth. This book has truth. This book will give you truth. Do you know what's happening today? Even in our churches, there's no truth proclaimed. They have taken the Word of God out of the churches, and what they are doing is they're giving you current events, or they're giving you sad stories about puppies, or whatever. But they have forgotten to tell you about the Word of God. Truth. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms and the 51st Psalm. Psalm 51. Lord, make me clean. Help me to get in a right relationship, Lord, with you. They often ask gang members why they have joined a gang. They said they're looking for someone to care for them. May I say this? God cares for them. But let me ask you this. Are you living in such a way that they want to have what you have when it comes to the house of God? There was a king, his name was David, and he had stayed home when the armies went to battle. We know the story. He was up on his rooftop and he saw a woman bathing. What was her name? Bathsheba. And he lusted after her and called for her, and she came. And they were intimate. Do you know that in the Old Testament, it was said in the law that those who were adulterers and adulteresses were to be stoned? Do you know they would have had a right to take King David out and stone him? Yes, he had broken the law. Well, we find that he sinned. And he was miserable. He was miserable. Notice what it says in verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God. His relationship with his Lord had been severed. There was separation, and that's what sin does. It separates us from God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Notice this. Blot out my transgressions. Blot them out. Blot them out. Notice verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. We live in a world that always wants to blame somebody else. It's their fault that I did wrong. Have you ever said that? Well, if they hadn't done this, I wouldn't have done that. So we blame other people for our sins. We blame other people for our transgressions. We say, God, it's not my fault. You know what? It is your fault. It is my fault. We have sinned and we have come short of the glory of the Lord. Notice verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions. He doesn't try to blame Bathsheba. He doesn't try to blame Uriah for being away and leaving his wife alone. He doesn't try to blame anybody else. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. This leper came to Jesus and says, you can cleanse me if you want. You can make me whole if you want. You know, the Lord wants you to come to him and repent. He wants you to get it right. He wants you to spend eternity in heaven with him. He wants that. Notice verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. He wants to be put back in a right relationship with Jesus. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Aren't you glad that the Lord lets the prodigal come back? Now, in a little bit, we're going to have an invitation. Now, we have an invitation every week. And we're going to invite people to come down here to the altar, and we're going to invite people to get things right with God. And some of you are going to say, well, if I go to the altar, they're going to think I'm some heathen. They already know you're a heathen. They already know you're a sinner. You know why they know? Because they're a sinner. So don't say, oh, I can't go forward. They're going to think, oh, I'm just a terrible person. Until we know Christ as our Savior, we are a terrible person. And if we are not walking close to the Lord, we are a terrible person. And coming to the altar is never a sign of defeat. It's a sign of victory. It's getting things right with the Lord. Are you willing to get things right with the Lord? And yet how many people say, well, I'm okay. I mean, I'm not as bad as, well, you know who over there on the other side of the aisle. Let me say this. Every one of us needs to be in a right relationship with God. We need to have a right relationship with him, and he can restore unto us the joy of our salvation. Number one, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you come to him and said, Lord, I need to be saved? And number two, if you have done that, are you living a life that honors and glorifies his name? Shall we stand together? A song of invitation, 375, is what we'll be singing, Just As I Am. It's how the Lord wants us to come, just as we are. Are we willing to come and get things right with him? Are we willing to come and say, Lord, I want your will in my life? Are we willing to come to the altar and say, Lord, help me this day to get things right? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now as we have this invitation that the Spirit would move and touch and convict. And help us, Lord, to desire to be in a right relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.